can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Now, the doc, Jimmy Stewart, Dr. James Stewart has joined us because we've got some...
Can't hear you in my headphones.
What do you mean? You don't need headphones. I'm a metre away from...
I want to hear your lovely voice in these headphones.
What are you talking about?
Righto. Hey, everyone. How are we doing?
Now, hang on. I'm only just introducing you because we're waiting for the doc, Ben, the other doctor.
The other doc.
A proper doctor, Ben Fordham, a psychoanalyst, Don's personal physician. We're waiting for him to ring in. He said he'd ring in, and we're all nervous and a twitter because when he rings in, I've got to try and put it to air. And you say you can't hear me through the headphones.
Correct.
I can't understand why that is, but...
It's all right, you're only a metre away from me.
No, I know that. I want you to be able to hear the doc when he rings in. Anyhow, we've had some questions to ask you about the plant-based...
plant-based medicine.
Medicine, as I'm calling it the marijuana oil. so we got Rex onto the... marijuana oil, and that might have calmed him down a bit, we think, we hope, because he suffered a bit of a, suffered a bit of a breakdown. I think you spoke to him, didn't you, or did you not?
Yeah, I've been speaking to Rex quite a bit. Yeah.
So how is his mental acuity at this stage?
Yeah, no, he's good. He's all right. He's doing well, Rex. You know, he's Rex. He is who he is. He's quite eccentric, as our good friend Don Scott is. Where is he?
Don, I've asked Don three times to come, but he just thinks that when he turns up, we'll start the podcast. But we're just waiting for the doc to ring in.
Okay.
He said he would.
That's all right. Yeah, no, Rex is doing well. He's a good man, Rex.
And how is business going? Oh, as I say, this is not an advertorial.
Things are going well. I have quite a few of your lovely listeners come in, and I must say that, you know, I would have thought originally that the demographic you got was sort of, you know, similar sort of blokes who watch a bit of footy, that kind of thing. But you have a very wide demographic.
Diverse.
Yes.
Eclectic.
Diverse. Lots of women.
Lots of women. Lots of women, because I think they secretly have fallen in love with Don.
Quite a few homosexuals as well, listen, come and see me.
Gay people from the gay community.
They love you too.
Yes, we love them, of course. We are not one of their...
team.
Here he is. Oh. Doc. Doc.
Cuckoo.
Can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Oh, shit. Fantastic. Now, I've got the... Dr. James Stewart's here. He can't hear you through the headphones. Don doesn't realise that we're on air. He's just coming down the stairs. We've been with bated breath waiting for you to ring us, and we didn't want to. I don't know if you've listened to any of our podcasts.
I've been listening.
We didn't want to just gild the lily by pushing you, but we knew that if you wanted to, you'd come back, and we're so delighted.
Of course.
And so are our listeners.
Of course, you know, I think I was supposed to be on last week, but you know that first week back at work where you don't quite know which way is up and which way is down? That's what I was suffering from last week, and I went, hang on a moment. Today's Wednesday, because over the summer period, I don't know about you blokes, I mean, for Don it might be like this 365 days of the year, but I kind of lose track of what day it is. So it's great to be back on and chatting to you. How is Don? Is Don well?
Don's here. And I just said
you sound,
Don's here.
You sound like you're in really good spirits at the moment, and I've picked up on that on the podcast over the last couple of weeks, and you've really dominated the discussion in some of those key interviews. You know, you've allowed Sam to take a back seat. So, mate, well done. I've been really, really impressed listening to you, Don.
But what's on the edge of my thoughts is the figure you cut on the sand and we had a deep discussion. Are you a Speedos man or a board short man?
Well,
I said you'd be a Speedo man.
You've brought this up 3 weeks in a row, which would be a little bit exhausting to the podcast listeners, but you've never been afraid of repeating content. I'm a board short man. I don't do that. I've never really been. I think the only time I wore the Sluggos, the Budgie Smugglers, would have been when I was a little boy doing swimming lessons. I think the moment I turned about 12 or 13, I was given a pair of board shorts. I've been with them ever since, but otherwise, I just prefer to go nude.
Doc, please. What, you and Jody?
Yeah. Holy. We just get the kid off.
Well, let us know what beach you're on. Don and I fly up.
Maroubra.
We'll fly up immediately and have a look at you both.
Maroubra, but, you know, that'd be your go.
One of the funny things that happens in our household is when I've got a hammock out the back, right, and I go and lay out on the hammock and I listen to You Cannot Be Serious, and Jody will walk past, or she'll come out to have a chat with me, and she goes, "Are they talking about me?" And I go, "Yeah, they've been talking about you for 5 minutes." She goes, "Why are they talking about me?" I said, "Because they've got a strange obsession when it comes to anything to do with you, and the more that you resist this podcast, the more the boys will chase you down and make sure that at some point you become a listener." So, mate, you know what she does? The moment she realises we're talking about her, she can't help herself. She starts tuning in and listening back, you know. So we've got her in the end. We knew we'd wear her down.
Could I just – I'm so glad you mentioned about – this is the third week that Don's brought up about the Budgie Smugglers. Just before you came on our first segment, he said, "I want to tell you this." He said, "I went into a supermarket and the plastic bags." I said, "You mentioned that last week. We spoke for 10 minutes about plastic bags." And he said, "Did I?" And he said, "Well, the other thing is plastic cups when you get your coffee." I said, "You mentioned that the week before, Don. 2 weeks ago, you mentioned about the plastic cups, and we mentioned how many are used and where they go. And last week, you mentioned about the plastic bags." So you're spot on, Doc. He just regurgitates topics, and you think, shit, he's got a lot of topics, but they're the same topic week in, week out.
Well, Don, if you've got a really good point, why not make it four times, right?
Now, I was interested, Ben, in what made news down here was your altercation with the Prime Minister, and I'm a bit like you. I don't know how your interview went, but I listened to him on the ABC yesterday, and I'm no more the wiser about this referendum that we've got coming up. I don't know when it's going to come up about the voice.
Yeah, it's probably – I can give you a bit of a scoop here on the You Cannot Be Serious podcast. Not that too many people are on the edge of their seats waiting to go back to the ballot box, which is what we've got to do when there's a referendum. I am very confident it's going to be happening in October of this year. And, look, I'd encourage people to go and have a listen to the interview that I did with Anthony Albanese. So you'll find it, you know, up on my website, 2GB.com, or either on the podcast if you go searching for Ben Fordham, because I went into that interview with a genuine curiosity to better understand this idea that he's got called The Voice, and I left scratching my head and wondering what the hell he was talking about. I mean, he kept on saying, if you go and read the 260-page report, and I had to say to him, yes, I have. And can I quote back to you what's in that report? Because I'm not sure that you really know what's in that report. And you know what? I've got a feeling that a lot of Australians are reluctant to have to go to the polls and to vote on something that's essentially Anthony Albanese's idea, which is another committee that he wants to set up called The Voice. We already have countless committees in that space when it comes to Indigenous affairs and reconciliation and closing the gap. And now he wants to set up another committee. And anyone who has dealt with a committee will tell you that not everyone agrees on everything. There's a lot of talking, a lot of finger pointing, and they talk about reports and proposals. But you've got this nightmare that's unfolding in Alice Springs at the moment. And I really kind of pushed the Prime Minister into going to Alice Springs, which he did yesterday, because there are horror stories coming from Indigenous communities in Alice Springs involving carjackings and bashings and home invasions and kids being abused. And if the Prime Minister is hell-bent on listening to the voices of Indigenous Australians, well, why isn't he listening to the voices coming out of Alice Springs saying we're in the middle of a crime crisis at the moment and we need to restore some of those alcohol bans that John Howard had, Julia Gillard had, Scott Morrison, Tony Abbott, and a whole range of others. And then Albo came in and went, oh, no, you know, it can be seen to be too cruel to be having those things in place. Albo, it's called tough love. And if people have got a massive problem with alcohol, and let's face it, those alcohol problems are bigger in Indigenous communities than they are in non-Indigenous communities, you've got to show some tough love. And instead, he's kind of brought in this halfway measure around the alcohol bans. And he also got rid of those cashless welfare cards. And I warned him at the time when he did this last year, the Prime Minister, I said, this will end up being one of your greatest mistakes. And again, it's a Prime Minister who wants to be seen as a nice guy. Well, when you're the PM, you've got to be seen as the bad guy once in a while. That's part of your job. And if I was running the joint, everyone who's on welfare would be on a cashless welfare card where you say to them, look, you can spend a certain amount of your money on whatever you want, but another chunk of the money that's coming from taxpayers, we will decide what you can and can't spend it on. You can spend it on groceries. You can spend it on education. You can spend it on your children. You're not spending it on booze and poker machines. I'd have that rule for everyone, regardless of their skin colour.
Well, as you are a far more eloquent and verbose person than me, I said exactly that about Mr. Albanese. He is incongruous, feckless and vapid, and he should go up there and do exactly what you said, but they are just out for photo opportunities and to placate their electorate. And no one's got any guts to do what obviously is the right thing, Doc.
But it's not only happening.
And you know what? I think Don's about to remind us here, and he's quite right. Don's about to remind us that he's been talking about the same issue in a place like Bourke in New South Wales, where I live. And I reminded my listeners today, Don, on the radio show that we had a guest on, organised by you, someone you know, and we won't mention their real name because we gave them a pseudonym when they turned up on air. But he was at a motel with his wife in Bourke, and in the middle of the night, there were crazy youths trying to break into the motel room, and then someone else in the motel said, oh, yeah, this happens all the time. I mean, I've got a guy who I reckon would be good as a guest for you guys at some stage. His name is Darren Clark. He's a business owner in the Northern Territory. He's got three businesses, and they have had 41 break-ins. And he set up a Facebook page where everyone in Alice Springs who's a victim of crime can send in the photos, the videos, the stories of what they've gone through. And that's now become the go-to place for finding out what's really going on in Alice Springs and the Northern Territory. So I had him on the show on Friday last week, and he gave this passionate plea to the Prime Minister to say, come up here, Albo. If you want to talk about The Voice, I'll introduce you to the voices of these Indigenous children who've got blood splattered on the walls and their aunties bashed on the ground. And it was really his call that spurred the Prime Minister to go to Alice Springs yesterday. But guess what? I sent a note to the PM saying you really should meet with Darren Clark when you're there. He didn't meet with Darren Clark. He was on the ground for a shorter period of time than he was in the aeroplane. So it was fly in, fly out, Albo. He was only there for 5 hours.
Photo opportunity.
Yeah, and Darren Clark, he's a really good talker as well. And if you want to get a bit of a sense of what it's like in Alice Springs at the moment, he might be a good one to talk to. But you're right, Don, you've brought up that issue several times, which is characteristic of what you do, about crime in the regions, not just Alice Springs.
Yeah, but if you just listen to Parliament, and there's a lady in there called Jacinta Price, who's been saying you're not in favour of Jacinta Price?
No, I said she's great. Jacinta Price is fantastic.
Well, she was saying that, you know, as she was growing up, her family were taking in these abused victims, domestic violence and also child molestation, and they were actually looking after them. So he doesn't have to go and visit if he just listens to a parliamentarian.
Well, we've got 11 Indigenous members of Parliament right now, right? A record number. So if Albo really needs to set up another committee, and I'm not convinced he does, you'd call the 11 into a room and go, okay, 11 plus 1, that's 12. We're now the new working group. You guys don't need to go and find out what's going on. You know the problems in Indigenous Australia. So what are we going to do? How can we solve it? You know what I mean? But he's now got this thing where we're all going to go off and we're all going to vote on it. And there's two things we're voting on, I should just make clear. Recognising Indigenous Australians in the Constitution, that's a must. It's a national shame that it's not in there. But he's tied it to this thing called The Voice. And look, my experience with Aussies is that Aussies are a little bit sceptical when you say we're going to set up another committee. We want action, not talk.
Now, Doc, I just hate to backtrack, but I did you misspeak when you said that you come from Bourke?
No, no, no. I said Bourke in New South Wales, where I come from. So you
Oh, I get you. I missed the New South Wales bit. I thought you said I come from Bourke. Holy mackerel. Now that
You almost had me there for a moment. Now, how are you, Sam? What's going on in your life? Give me some gossip. Can I get out on the boat? I want to go out on the boat like Shane Crawford and Ricky Nixon and Rex Hunt and all of these other people. Everyone gets a start on the boat.
We took the whole cast from Joseph in his magnificent Technicolor. Well, what a day that was. If you talk about diversity, inclusion, equity and all the other things, it was an eye-opener. Yeah. It was fantastic. They were fantastic people. Now, Doc, have you cancelled Australia Day up there in Sydney like the mayor has here? That's A. And B, I went into a place a couple of days ago and ordered some food and with someone, and the bill came to $75, and you have to pay up front, and I took my wallet out and they said, we don't take cash. I said, are you serious? And I said, well, then don't take my order. And I walked out. Is this happening? Why can't you pay cash at places? Have you struck this? And tell me...
it was something that really... ballooned during COVID because they wanted contactless payment. They didn't want people handing over notes and handing over coins, but COVID's well and truly finished. Cash is king. Cash is always going to be king. And have you noticed that there aren't as many ATMs out there than there used to be? Because you know what they did? The banks got rid of the bank branches and said, go to the ATM. Now they get rid of the ATM. So I've been hunting around for an ATM a few times and I thought, oh, well, there's one around the corner. I know where it is. And you get there and you go, hang on a moment, that one's vanished.
That's right.
And there's some numbers out showing thousands of ATMs have disappeared as well. It is the legal currency in this country. Exactly. You should be able to pay with cash whenever you want to.
So you can't go pay at the... now, have you been asked by... You're a Channel 9 employee, are you? Or were you?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I am.
You've not been swanned down to the tennis? I say Richard Wilkins, the man you said...
I was invited to the tennis, but I figured that considering my radio show has only just returned and I had 5 weeks off, I really need to focus on that. Right. So I'm not going to get to the tennis this year. I did get to go a few years ago. It's a great spectacle.
Yeah, it goes
too
long.
Nick Kyrgios is out. Shame that Kyrgios is gone because he really provides the entertainment.
So you can't pay cash at the tennis. That's cashless. And the tennis, in my opinion, goes far too long. Why don't the men play the best of three advantage sets? Who wants to sit at an auditorium for four and a half hours and watch the same strokes go backwards and forwards? It's ridiculous, and it's an anachronism, five sets. It was only brought in 100 years ago because rallies used to go for about 10 seconds because they'd serve and volley, and now it just goes backwards and forwards. It is about as boring as you can get, second to the Grand Prix.
Yeah, I reckon they've got to do something on it. When you've got people sitting up until 4 o'clock in the morning watching a tennis match to finish, I think it's too long. Now, let me just pick up on Australia Day. You asked about Australia Day. Would you guys lose any sleep if we were to make the last Friday in January Australia Day, guaranteeing a long weekend at the end of January every year? And keep in mind that you guys may not work as much now as you previously did. So put yourself in the shoes of your average Aussie who's going off to work. They've had their summer holidays, then they're back on the job, and they would have a guaranteed long weekend at the end of every single January instead of, like this year where it falls on a Thursday. You know, and then you've got bosses thinking, well, how many people are going to have a sickie on the Friday? And you're not really able to get away for a long weekend with a family. Wouldn't it make more sense putting it on the last Friday in January?
Of course it would. You'd still have people saying that it is not right to call it Australia. We've had this big... You want to listen to the first part. You mightn't come on again if you've listened to the first part of our podcast today.
No. We don't have to agree on everything, but look...
You'll agree with what I said.
I can guess what you would have been saying, which is probably what I've been saying for many, many years. But I've got to admit that my... my position on the date of Australia Day has somewhat changed.
Yep, that's fair
enough. And that's because, and I'll tell you why, I've got a mate called Jake who's Aboriginal, right? Jake grew up, he's got a white mum and a black dad, right? So he goes, mate, I can see Australia Day from both sides. When I was growing up on the Gold Coast, I was out there on the beers, having a great time with Australia Day, waving the Australian flag. He goes, then I got a better understanding, I suppose, of my Aboriginal culture. And he goes, the problem is when you reach a certain age and you kind of understand why it is problematic for Aboriginal Australians, he goes, the problem is, he goes, I love Australia. I love Australia Day. But I feel a bit guilty when I'm going along to something that's Australia Day related, if it's a party, because, you know, for lots of Aboriginal Australians, it's not a day of celebration. For most of them, I would argue. So Jake kind of said, look, is there any way that you would entertain the idea of moving it here or moving it there by a day or two, and then I would feel really good coming along and being part of the party on Australia Day? So I kind of said, you know, when there's someone I really care about, if we're having a disagreement, and if it means more to me than it does to them, or more to them than it does to me, I often think the person who will probably say, oh, you know what, it doesn't matter that much to me, it doesn't matter as much to me as it does to you, is the person who will back down somewhat from their position. So here's the thing on Australia Day. It means more to my Aboriginal mate, Jake, that it not be on the 26th than it does to me for it to be on the 26th. I couldn't give a stuff what date it's on. As long as we have Australia Day, as long as people understand that we're going to celebrate it and be loud and proud about the country we live in. And if you've got a mate like Jake, you want him there at the barbecue. So if I'm having an Australia Day barbecue and I go, I can invite Sam, I can invite Don, but I can't invite Jake, well, that becomes an uncomfortable experience for me, for Jake, and for everyone else. So, you know what? I thought to myself and I said to Jake, I said, mate, this means more to you than it does to me. As long as I can celebrate Australia Day. And he goes, yeah, I want you to. And I want to. I want to be there as well. And I thought to myself, well, if we can also have the added benefit of the long weekend every year, well, I'm not going to lose any sleep if they floated Australia Day every year. And just like the Melbourne Cup is the first Tuesday in November, Australia Day would be the last Friday in January. And yes, once every 5 or 6 years or whenever it's going to fall on the 26th. Well, on those days, I'm sorry, that's just the way it is. But on every other year, it'll fall on a Friday and we get a long weekend.
So, Doc, we are in vehement agreement with you. We absolutely are. And that is a rational and sensible attitude to have. Now, we just want to make sure, Don, growing up,
did not ever celebrate Australia Day. When did we start making a big thing out of Australia Day?
I
certainly can't remember it through primary school or high school or secondary school.
No, I agree. I reckon it was probably about 15 years ago that it really took off.
What a wank that is. What a real wank.
I don't think so. I think it's great to be proud of the country that you live in.
You can be proud, but why go on with Australia Day? 15 years ago, a new thing. It's a wank.
Well, I'll give you an idea. I was in Hawaii on a key anniversary. It might have been, I'm trying to think what, it would have been 4th of July.
Yeah, 4th of July, yep.
And it was amazing seeing all these families and friends, and they take the esky down to the beach and there's boat races and there's everything else. There's nothing wrong with having a day where we can say how lucky are we to live here. I mean, you think of all of the other hellholes in the world that we could have been born into, we're lucky enough to call Australia home. And, mate, if you don't want to go out and celebrate on Australia Day, you don't have to. But those who want to go out and want to enjoy it, and you know what, Don? It's something that is led by younger people because, you know, once upon a time, nobody would have tattooed the Australian flag on their body. But these days, it's not unusual to have people who are 16, 17, 18 years of age going out and getting the Southern Cross or the Australian flag tattooed all over their body. And they wear Australia Day T-shirts and caps and those temporary tattoos and everything like that. But you're right, that did not happen when I was a kid either. But Australia Day's become a big thing.
Yes. I wonder if there's I wonder if there's a correlation between but with the young people and also when Triple J started putting their Hottest 100 on the Australia Day, because that gets a huge following and that leads to a big party and that kind of thing. And so it is, again, the younger people that I remember. I've grown up with Australia Day. We've always celebrated Australia Day, and I'm a bit younger than you guys. So
the Doc's 12.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stoogie.
Hey, Doc.
Yeah, mate.
Doc, you might be onto something there, but big fan of your work, by the way, Doc. I enjoy listening to you on the podcast. You should be paying these guys for your free appearances, the amount of free plugs you get, even though, as we know, you don't officially plug any product. But Triple J, they changed their competition that they run.
Yeah.
What's it called?
The Hottest 100.
Thing called? The Hottest 100. Yeah. Sorry, I had a mental blank. They changed it from Australia Day, and they now do it, I think, on the Saturday or something like that.
Yeah, they do. But, yeah, originally it was Australia, and that was always the big thing with Australia Day, was going, having the Hottest 100 on, big Australia Day party. But, yeah, now they've changed it because they don't agree with it being on the 26th.
Now, finally, go ahead.
Yes.
Finally, Doc, we're in an attempt to have Jodie stop by the podcast and listen. We're going to mention her. We can just give her a mention her in passing. This is indirectly might be related to you and her. But did you know? Now, this is, I'm not making this up, that Viagra has been found to be not only what it was designed for in the first place, but it is, they have clinical evidence that it reduces by some percentage points your risk of having a heart attack, and they have definitely found out that you live longer if you take Viagra regularly. I'm wondering, do you take Viagra for any of the reasons that you don't want to get a heart attack, or you want to live longer, or just for the obvious reason? You wouldn't need
a heart attack. Or a hard-on. No, I've never tried the little blue pill.
You wouldn't have to, of course.
I'm sure that I'll have to at some point. But isn't it something? No, I know, but it doesn't matter how attracted you are to the person you're with. I mean, I think sometimes
it's got a fair bit to do with it.
Health issues kick in, don't they? It's at a certain age where, and I know people might also have it from a younger age as well. But I've never tried the little blue pill. But if there's a health benefit to it, I'm willing to give it a go.
They say there definitely is a health
physiologically
benefit.
The way Viagra works is it's a vasodilator, so it dilates the vessels. Dilates the vessels in your old fella and therefore the blood can rush in freely and get the soldier to stand up. So by dilating blood vessels, it reduces your blood pressure and takes the strain off your heart.
That's a side effect.
That's what they said.
Yeah, but it's a side effect. Viagra was developed as a heart tablet, and under testing, they found...
That's what they're saying.
That's why, fellas that have a large member can actually faint when they get an erection because the blood leaves their head.
You're still there, Doc?
Does it make it bigger?
It just stimulates blood flow.
Don swallowed one a couple of weeks ago and got a stiff neck. he's not speaking from experience. I've got a feeling.
Look, I'm willing to experiment with it if it's, for the purpose of
I can help you out there, Ben. I can send you a little script report next time.
I've heard from mates of mine that it only takes about 15 minutes and then all of a sudden it's as hard as a cat's head.
Never get Jodie out of the mounting yard if you start taking it. She'll be locked in that room there for most of the day.
Oh, mate. If she listens to this bit, mate, she's going to load the gun at our place, I think. But anyway.
Strike me. Well, Doc, this has been fantastic. You can't realise how much we've been looking forward to this.
No, you've been looking forward.
I have been.
I thought there was a blue between. He's gone through Rod Law, Mike Sheehan.
Yeah, Ivan.
Ivan? Yeah. Have you gone through Ivan now? I thought you were another one of his list, Ben.
No. Ivan is still in the good books. I mean, Ivan will always be in the good books with Sam because he's just such a loyal bloke and loves the podcast. I love hearing Ivan on the podcast. I think he's great when he's in there. So we'd like to hear some more Ivan. It's great to have the Doc with you today as well. Phoebe is kind of MIA from time to time. I'm across
she
all of that.
She got caught on the bridge today, the traffic, and she had to turn back. We've had a discussion off air with her.
Really?
Yes, and she wrote a big article about Rex in the paper.
Yeah, so is Rex okay?
No. Is he
has
okay?
Has he got the problem?
He's got some problems. He's got some mental acuity problems, but we
haven't got a phone call from him.
No.
Don't give him your number.
When I heard that he was found on the side of the road in the early hours of the morning, I was like, oh, I hope he had his clothes on. Didn't he get his kit off once?
He got his kit off. He's got it off a couple of times.
He bloody came down to my house. I should tell you the story about that.
No, that's all right.
Oh, jeez. Oh, God.
What did he do? Come on, Don. Oh, what did he do? Oh,
jeez. He's gone through my bloody bathroom, used my toothbrush.
Oh, yeah. This is another story.
Oh, this is another story. Oh,
he said, yeah, I heard you tell it before.
He said Don's house looked like a pigsty. He said, how anyone can live in it? This is Drex said this.
Well, mate, he is one of the great football commentators, Rex Hunt, and a very entertaining and charismatic bloke. So, Rex, if you're listening, if you're struggling a bit at the moment, mate, we're with you and get well soon.
Well, Doc, it's just fantastic. And say hello to Jodie. Send her all the best for the new year because it comes from us, from the heart, and you know that. And
You know what? She did remark on the cap because I wear my You Cannot Be Serious cap.
We've got T-shirts.
You'll see when we do the promo, we've got the T-shirts, michaelchristianmenswear.com up your bum. They've marketed them and I'm going to send you one.
They're good value for money as well. And no, Don, can
$45 for a T-shirt.
Don, Jesus, you're a Grinch,
Don. Can you stop telling people that the T-shirts and the caps are a rip-off?
Absolutely.
It's great value for money, and people like being part of this club, and that's what they want to do. They want to part with their hard-earned, make Michael a squillionaire, and in the meantime, spread the word about You Cannot Be Serious through the caps and the T-shirts, and we might even release a pill at some stage. They should have a little red pill to go with the red caps that can be the You Cannot Be Serious pills. I'm not sure what they do to any part of your body, but I don't see why we couldn't move into the health space as well, and maybe Dr. James could help with that.
Yeah, maybe instead of trying to get someone up and about around their groin, we might do it a pill that improves your mental capacity to think clearly, unlike Don, who was asked to count to 1 to 3 the other day and got 2 of the numbers wrong.
Hey, listen, Doc, can you answer this one for me? I took some gummies recently, some melatonin gummies, right, to help me sleep.
Yeah.
And then I said to Jodie, I said, they're fantastic. I said, I'm going to go and buy some more of them because they were Jodie's. And she went, no, you can only get them from the States. She got a friend to pick them up in the States. Mm-hmm. Have you heard about them, those melatonin gummies, or are there any gummies like that out there?
No, so Australia, we're a bit behind on the old gummy scene, so it is pretty pretty popular over in the States, both sort of melatonin and then CBD and THC gummies. Actually, all the superstars and the rock stars over there aren't singing about and talking about going out and drinking their cognac and their Grey Goose, you know, vodkas. They're all up talking about having gummies now. But unfortunately, Australia, we don't have them yet because of the high standards that we have to have and the regulatory boards. Mm. The precision of the amount of THC and the molecules that has to be in a gummy can't be precise. So
Jesus,
we haven't got them here. But we do have straight melatonin out here, which you can get, which does help to sleep.
You're ahead of the curve, Doc. You're taking gummies from the States, you and Jody.
I've got an idea, sure. And this is something we can branch out to, and the doc might be able to help with it as far as, you know, spreading the word about You Cannot Be Serious. What about
gummies?
Cannot Be Serious magic mushrooms, right? And then what you do, right, they're all packaged up with the branding and everything else, so you get the cap, you get the T-shirt, and you get the magic mushroom gummies, and then you take the magic mushrooms and listen to the podcast. How good would that be?
And put the kit on and then walk around out in the streets on the mushrooms with the hat and the shirt, waving it around.
This is why you're an entrepreneur, Doc.
Oh, well,
we would never have thought of that. And if you wanted to slip a Viagra in there, the sky's the limit. You'd have to smuggle it. You'd have to get a pair of baggy strides and smuggle it into the city.
Well, it's great to hear your voices, boys. I'll leave you with the doc and look forward to talking in a fortnight.
Beautiful. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Doc.
Bye-bye.
Love yous all. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yep, so now I believe he's off. I don't know if he's off. Do you reckon he's off?
He's gone, I think.
Has he gone? I reckon he's off. Anyhow, it doesn't matter if he's not. He'll be listening to this. He is off. So, Doc.
Now, I've got a couple of things for Doc.
Well, good.
Yes.
Doc.
Yes.
Have you, I'm interested in COVID. Now, you're a general practitioner and a lot of things are not coming out about COVID. And are you able, as a doctor, to comment on COVID? The reason, a practicing practitioner, are you able to comment on the COVID situation, or the authorities greater than you, are they closing you down and stifling what you can say publicly? Because the reason I say that, a chap we played football against, Robbie Peterson, who's a retired medico in Seymour, he got a call from the, is it the questioning him and also saying, we're going to take your registration away. He said, well, that's good because I've retired.
Oh, what did he say to get in trouble?
Well, he is an activist. He's a doubter about COVID. And he's all on
vaccines.
This.
He's a doubter
the whole thing around this now. It's a political thing. Are you, because Karen Phelps has come out and said she was a parliamentarian and a past administrator, talking about long COVID, and she was kind of stifled a bit as well. Are you stifled by the authorities?
No, I don't think so. Not that I know of. But I'm not out there publicly speaking about it because it's not really my specialty to talk about. But what I can say is, COVID. I would hate to be in a position where I had to make decisions for everyone during COVID. Like, you didn't know, it was something new. No matter what you did, I think you were going to do, you were going to piss some people off. And you were.
No, I'm talking about it right now in the present.
Yeah.
COVID's so in the past, but I'm talking about the present situation, which we're not really being told what's going on.
No. And we're really not, I don't get fed a lot of information either, but we are still encouraging people to get vaccinated and things like that. On that front, I don't know if natural immunity, if you've had COVID, I don't know if you need another vaccine. It makes sense maybe for a different strain that, yes, you would need another vaccine. In terms of the spread and, are we better off just letting it take its natural course? I don't know. And I don't want to make because it's not my area. I leave that up to the experts.
Aren't you treating in general, in your general practice, people?
Yes. So I see a lot of people with long COVID symptoms. So people who have... So COVID, when it gets into your body, it creates an inflammatory response. Okay? It's an inflammatory viral condition. So if you're prone to inflammation, aches, joint pain, this type of thing, fibromyalgia, it'll flare that up. And that can also happen from the vaccine. And so I'm seeing a lot of people that I'm treating them for long COVID because plant medicine can be seen to be a good anti-inflammatory in some people, not everyone. And so they come and see me. And there is definitely a correlation with people who say this started after the vaccine or this started after
and
I had COVID.
I've got a number of friends, but I have a number of female friends who are complaining. Now, but the male friends don't have it. Is it just females that are having the problem with long COVID?
Females tend to be more prone to inflammatory conditions like fibromyalgia, which is an inflammatory condition that doesn't present with any signalling of inflammation, but this seems to be specific to women. Some men have it, but it's more prominent in women. Your arthritis and things like that seem to be more prone in women. So, yes, it would make sense that...
women are suffering more from long COVID than what men are.
Yep.
Don, you are spot on.
What are you talking about?
Are people being closed down from having an opinion? We have been brainwashed not to discuss the problems with COVID and the vaccine and the dishonesty and misinformation. It goes under misinformation if you have a different opinion from the authorities. And I read this out last week, and this is Pfizer. Pfizer have asked... to have immunity from any vaccination lawsuits. They don't want anyone to come back in the future. They're asking for immunity because their vaccinations have never been tested, they're untried and they're ineffective. And this is from a large body of medical people, and so much so that they've asked to have immunity from being sued in the future. This is you can look that up. I told you before last week. I never make.
Are you repeating something we've talked about before?
Not at all. You've never talked about that before.
I didn't know that.
But I'll tell you this, and I read this out last week, and this is our society is so dumbed down and indoctrinated that anyone who's a critical thinker is perceived as a conspiracy theorist. So people would say that's a conspiracy. But if you want to look up and Google Pfizer lawsuits, do they want immunity, you'll find that, that it's all there. But no one ever mentions that because the general perception is that the vaccines have been effective. They're not effective at all. They haven't don't stop people getting COVID. They don't stop people transmitting it. More people die and get COVID that have been vaccinated that don't. And if Novak Djokovic wins the tennis, it'll be him versus the government here.
What do you want?
Well, they stopped him from coming in the first place because he wasn't vaccinated.
I think the government let him in.
They did this week.
They let him in last year as well. Tennis Australia, and no one stood up. Even then, there were questions with regard to...
They didn't. Dan Andrews and ScoMo stopped him coming in.
No, how did he get in the first place?
But because he filled in a form...
pressure. Don't you worry, they needed to draw
I card. Had last year, when the year when he... Was it last year when he wasn't allowed in? I actually was on the government side. I was, as a doctor and a science-based, practitioner, I was all for it. I'm thinking, no, vaccines are 100%. If you're not vaccinated, you're not coming in, you're going to spread it, blah, 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 blah. Now, I don't know. I'm taking what's been presented to me and whether I've been given the right information.
There's 20 cruise ships a day coming into Melbourne and Sydney and Perth and Adelaide with full of people who have got COVID. It was a political scam.
I agree with that. As soon as they started mucking around with what injection or vaccine we can have. And then they're changing midstream. It's a joke.
Can you imagine that Pfizer thing if myself or other doctors said we want immunity from ever making a bad decision or anyone ever suing us? Or even any company saying, we want to be immune from being sued? Like, come on, who do you think you are?
They've asked that. They have put that proposition forward.
It wasn't tested. It went through in a couple of months, whereas it's normally 7 to 10 years. Yep.
On that, do you know what gives me the shits? Is they're happy to roll out... But I don't get trouble for this. Happy to roll out a vaccine untested, worldwide. Yet when we have things like medicinal cannabis that's been tested, blah 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 blah. Yes. When we've got psychedelic medication that can help people that's been tested over the years, they won't approve that. Yet they can bang out a vaccine untested.
Yeah, because there's
no
money in it. It's a pharmaceutical company. It is running the show.
People want to
goes back to the 1950s. We mentioned about cholesterol drugs.
Yep.
So if people want to get advice about plant-based medicine, Don, who would they go and ask?
I'd like to ask him.
Who would they go and
just
ask?
Just listen, the doc.
Dr. James Stewart. Well, Don, please, people ring us up and say, who do we go to for plant-based, I'm saying medical marijuana information, but he can't say that. It's plant-based medicine.
Go to www.herbalhealthclinics.com.
Yeah, now, Doc, that's where you can go. A lot of people we speak to go down there, Don.
I want a free consultation.
Sure. Well, I can't fix that rash, Don. You've asked me about that rash and I can't get rid of it. Sorry, mate.
This is not a contra thing, Don. You can't ask him to come on.
Contra.
Come on, mate.
Hey, listen, can I get hooked on that one that I'm taking?
No, it's not.
Why not? For sleeping.
No.
Hey, listen, his lordship over here took it by mistake and was off his tree.
You said, can you get hooked on it?
I've never taken it since. You don't get hooked on marijuana.
No, so you can, if you're using high strength cannabis every day, then yes, you downregulate your natural TA, you downregulate your natural endocannabinoid system because you're getting external cannabinoids in all the time, and then when you try and stop, you experience side effects because you don't have it. But at the doses we give medicinally, no, you do not get hooked. Coffee is more addictive.
I took the THC by mistake and it did what it's exactly meant to do. It made me feel sleepy and drowsy and I shouldn't have taken it. I took it in error. But I haven't got hooked on it because I've never taken it since.
I said if you took it regularly and as to what he did, would you get hooked on it?
No.
Okay, the other thing is, the medicinal one, is that hemp oil or is it marijuana oil?
Okay, so the confusion, Pete, so you see a lot of things hemp. So hemp technically is a term for a cannabis plant that has no active cannabinoids in it. So that's hemp is traditionally used for fiber and the vessel.
Yeah,
the
I've got hemp shirts. So yep, I understand. Yep.
So hemp oil technically should just be oil from a cannabis plant that has bugger all active cannabinoids in it, and that's how they can legally sell hemp oil. If something's called hemp, it's got to have a low amount. But people illegally are advertising CBD, THC as hemp oil, and it does have active cannabinoids in it. So no, you're not on hemp oil. You're on on CBD or medicinal cannabis oil, because hemp oil doesn't have active molecules, active cannabinoids in it.
Right.
Yep. So that's the term. So you'll hear hemp. Hemp is cannabis, but it's the fibre, the one that we use for fibre.
So they're not using
food.
The hemp in the medicinal, the anti-inflammatory.
No. That's from an actual cannabis plant with active molecules in it.
Okay. Yeah. Now, Don and Doc, we have another friend of yours, Don, a friend of ours, but particularly a friend of yours, Kate Save from BeFit Food has entered the
arena.
Has entered the building like Elvis, hasn't left the building. And we've got our interviewee has arrived.
Who?
Well, I'm going to announce our interviewee.
Thanks for telling me.
I told you who it was. It doesn't.
Hey, listen, you are going ratty. You are really going ratty. You have Don, not rung at all this week.
Don, I tell you what a buffoon and a liar you are. I will show you the phone calls on my phone, which are recorded. You know, last contacts. Hang on, Doc. I will show you the phone calls. I reckon you've spoken to me 20 times this week for various reasons, either missed calls or you. Half the time when I'm doing something, I think, Christ, what's he want now? I've rang you and told you who our guest was, and I'll tell you how I can prove I told you what our guest was, because you asked me some specific questions about him, and I said, well, we'll ask him when he's on. Don't start that bullshit. Kate Save is here from BeFit Food, who you terrorise their store down in the Mornington Peninsula. You wander in there and you've got the staff scuttling when you go in. They say, Christ, here he comes again. You're into an old man's meatballs or his balls that he makes. You're into the protein balls. You've scooped up
protein
everything.
Bread.
You've scooped up everything
bread.
That's not nailed bread. Down. Scooped up everything that's not nailed down. And all Kate has asked you is, could you get the coach of St Kilda, what's his name?
Who? No, Ratton's gone.
Bill.
Who?
Bill.
Ross Lyon.
No, Bill.
Could you get Ross Lyon, who you said was podgy and overweight, could you get him onto Kate Save's... You didn't say that. No, I didn't say that. I'm withdrawing that. I never said that. I did say Don said that the coach.
Is he? Let me have a look at him. Is
was
he,
a bit
he,
podgy, but I made I made that up, and okay. I am taking that back. I misspoke. He didn't say that at all about Ross Lyon being overweight and a fraction podgy and should get on to Kate Save's food, BeFit Food. He didn't say that, and I want that completely expunged.
Okay, I'll
off the. Maybe he'd like to take some marijuana oil.
He could do both. We could do him a deal, some BeFit and some marijuana. And
that's right.
Some plant medicine.
And he'd sleep peacefully because when he finds out Don might have said that he's overweight, that might get him jittery and he mightn't be able to sleep.
How do you think his year's going to go with this? Saints, he might need a bit of plant medicine to calm the nerves a little bit.
He might, and if he was fitter, and Don didn't say he was overweight. Okay. I made that up because Don trains his daughter horse riding.
Ah.
I think he does. That's how he knows. But Don never said that he was overweight or podgy. I made that up.
So you're saying he's overweight and podgy?
I've seen a photo of
Portly,
him recently,
maybe?
But. Of course, when you take a photo on camera, on television, puts pounds on
it
you.
It does.
Makes you look a lot. But Don never said that he was overweight or podgy. I can categorically say that. So I'm sorry. I shouldn't have implicated him in that.
He's not happy with you. He stormed off.
Well, because he thinks that I said that he said that he was overweight and podgy. He never said that, ever. Doc, we're coming back with... I don't know what we're coming back with.
That's all right,
mate. What has Kate had to say to you, Don? Anything over there? What have you managed to? When are you next backing the truck into?
I just introduced myself to our next guest.
That's right. Well, you mightn't have never have met our next guest, but I told you who he was. It's a he. I think he. We can signal him as a he. I think he's identifying as a male. You can ask him that. Lots of luck when you ask him that. He'll punch the fucking living suitcase out of you. Doc.
Yes.
Any questions for Kate about her very, very good food? Beef.
Why don't you put some medical
marijuana oil into some of her food? That have two effects: A, lose weight, and B, go to sleep immediately.
You could do a nighttime nighttime supper range.
Yeah, we might have. You cannot be serious. Pills with medical marijuana in them.
What did we come up with, Ben? What was the idea there? Mushrooms. No,
the mushrooms. Don't worry. All right. Well, now, Don, I just want to clear that up about the coach. You never said that. I can categorically say that. You never said that he was overweight and podgy. I made that up. So that's it. We've had a big, and we're about to come back with our guests. So there we are. So just a minute. Here we go. What am I doing? I've lost track of what I'm doing. Where is the button? Is this the button?